Hello, and welcome to Sunday Messages with Fairmount Friends Church. We're so glad that you are joining us. You can find out more on www.fairmountfriendschurch.org. Here's Pastor Brock Meyer.
He said, you can only stress about what you can control. And if you can't control it, you can't stress about it. It's like, gee whiz, man, you're preaching. This is good. And I just can't get anxious about the uncontrollables. And I can just get all worked up and so frustrated about the weather and the rain and all this stuff. And he's like, I can't do anything about it. And so why am I spending this amount of emotional currency on things that I can't control anyway? Also talked to Vicky this week and some situations that she's walking through and just battling through faith that either God's good or he's not. Either he's on his throne or he's not. And do I go to these places of stress and worry and anxiety, or do I sit in these places of trust and my soul is anchored in something much deeper than circumstantial things? It is anchored in this Lord that's an unmovable being. Also talked to my Aunt Teresa Hyatt, and she is a farmer as well, and she said that one morning she was walking this week, and just after the storm had blown in and just the intensity of that, she was walking to one of her, to a barn, and instead of going in, she just grabs a chair and just sits outside of her barn, and she's looking up at the trees, and she's looking at just kind of all the water everywhere, and all of a sudden, the goodness of God hits her spirit, and she says, God, you're so good, and I just look upon your beauty. And I look at just how amazing you are in the midst of all of this. And my soul is finding pleasure in something else. And she said, about that time, somebody comes pulling in. And what could have been a frustrating moment, like, hey, I'm trying to have this encounter with the Lord here. I'm having this little moment of worship. This person pulls in, and she said, I'm just going to tell them how good God is. She says, God is so good. I'm just thinking and just contemplating about his faithfulness and his goodness. This person said, God is so good. And they start just recounting all of the ways that God has been faithful and good in their lives. Sometimes it can be overwhelming, and we can have more questions. Sometimes hardship leads us into questioning God. Or maybe it's like, I would really like to be in the position to counsel God. I can tell you how to do this thing a lot better. I'll tell you this, hardship exposes who we are. Just does. It puts a magnifying glass on where your hope is. And we hope in the strong arm of the flesh. We hope in what we can do and what we can perform and what we can achieve. Or we hope in what God can do and that God is faithful and that he's consistent no matter what. And it really checks us where our hope is. This is an interesting picture here, but it's a farm that just looks underwater. It looks like it's a pond. And maybe for some of you sitting out there, you've got the pond in your fields, and you're thinking, I cannot handle one more rain. Maybe this is a picture of your marriage. I got water in my marriage. I got water in my checkbook. I am overwhelmed in whatever those things are in life. The floods need to back off. There's another interesting storm that came through Scripture that we're going to delve into here, and it's Jesus, whenever he's on the boat with the disciples as they are coming into this storm. For any of you that you just feel wiped out, you just feel weary and heavy laden, maybe kids are off doing things that you wish they weren't, and just the mama heart inside of you is just aching. Maybe marriage didn't pan out, or I don't know, what's just different things. The job just isn't what you hoped it would be, and just the hardship that we can go through. Jesus says, come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden. Learn from me, I'll give you rest. It's interesting, many times I want to fast forward the tape on that scripture, and I say, if I'm weary, come to Jesus, he'll give me rest. But he says, learn from me. Come to me and learn from me, and I'll give you rest. I just wonder, what are the things that maybe God wants to teach us in the midst of the storm? What should we learn through the weariness and through the hardship? Is there anything to learn, or do we got it all figured out and we're good? It's God's problem. Maybe there's something inside of all of this that we can learn as we wrestle through this. The passage of scripture that we're going to be in today starts in Mark chapter 4, but the same passage of scripture is in Matthew chapter 8. And as you read Matthew chapter 8, ramping up to the story, it's Jesus healing people, and he heals the centurion and his servant, and Jesus heals a man of leprosy. Seemingly, those that are outside of the disciples or outside of the church, if you will, are getting the breakthrough. You ever seen everybody else in life get the breakthrough and not you? You ever seen everybody else? Man, they've got it good. Sure would be nice to be them. Sure, yeah, they got a start. They were born on third base. It was nice. It sure was easy for them, right? We can just go through these scenarios, and everybody else is getting these breakthroughs except for the disciples. And then what we see is Jesus is having these massive breakthroughs in the crowd, those people outside of the church, seemingly. And then they hop on a boat, and it all hits the fan for them. And in Mark chapter 4, and starting here in verse 35, we've got these scriptures up on the screen for you. That day at evening, Jesus said to his followers, "Come with me across the lake." Do you think Jesus knew what was about to happen? I don't know, but he invited them into something. He says, "Come on, come with me. I don't want to do this alone. I want to take you through something." So they left the crowd behind and went with Jesus in the boat that he was already in. Jesus was already heading there. Some scriptures are just so helpful the slower you read them, and sometimes even when you whisper them, it just makes it sound a little better, doesn't it? Jesus says, "Come with me, come on, let's go." So they left the crowd, and it's the boat that he's already in, and check this part out. There were also other boats that were out there, and they went with them. A very bad wind came up on the lake. The waves were coming over the sides of the boat and into the boat, and it was almost full of water. Jesus was inside the boat, sleeping with his head on a pillow. Oh, how nice of Jesus just to check out and go to sleep. The followers went and woke him. And they said, "Teacher, don't you care about us? We are going to drown." Any farmers drive by your fields thinking, "We are about to drown out here. Do you care? Jesus, why are you sleeping? Jesus is sleeping on my life right now. He's sleeping on my marriage. He's sleeping on my health. Jesus, just got this doctor's report. Were you asleep or what? What's going on? You're nice and comfy in your pillowy heaven, totally disconnected from my life." Jesus stood up and he gave a command to the wind and to the water. And he said, "Quiet, be still." Then the wind stopped and the lake became calm. He said to his followers, "Why are you afraid? Do you still have no faith?" They were very afraid, and they asked each other, "What kind of a man is this? Even the wind and the water obey him." You know, whenever we look at some different suffering that we can go through in life, I always find it helpful to put my hardship in context of the rest of the world. Because there's like the rest of the world suffering, and then there's America suffering. There's like, hey, it's not going, like life is really, really good, but like a couple things maybe didn't work out for you. And maybe it didn't work out for like 6 months or even a year or a couple years. But life's pretty good. Life's pretty amazing. And then there's like real suffering, like the rest of the world suffering. And if you're in here today, better believe that you are the richest of three-quarters of all people standing on the face of the earth today. We suffer. We go through some hardships. Usually it's relational things or maybe disease on our bodies. That's hard. No matter where you live, that's just hard stuff to work through, relationships and disease. But there's also some suffering that it's kind of hard to hear you complain with all that caviar in your mouth. If you could maybe spit some of that out, maybe I could hear how hard it is for you. And to kind of put into perspective what we're going through, to really gain insight on what God would want to maybe teach us through it all. Sometimes we complain because we're going through something, and just look at this. It says that there were other boats that were out on the lake as well. When there's other people going through it as well, and imagine all the other boats, and they're watching the disciples freak out. Let's call the disciples the church. Let's call the disciples Christians. And there's all of these other boats that are out there peeking in on the disciples' boats. And they're saying, yeah, we're all going through it, but at least you got him on your boat. Sure would like to have that guy on my boat. Our boat's filling up with water too, but you got the man. And the world's peeking in, and they're seeing the disciples freaking out. They're losing their minds. And they are with Jesus and freaking out. I just wonder, should the church have any sort of a different approach to suffering? Resting and trusting in his goodness. Either Jesus was in a place that he shouldn't have been, or maybe the disciples were. Maybe Jesus was saying, come and be with me. Let's rest. Gosh, I don't think Jesus was the one that was wrong, taking a nap. I'm not saying that when life is hard, go to bed. I'm not saying that. But I'm saying the perspective and the approach in which we live. Other people are going through it in Grant County, in the Midwest, in America, and they're peeking into the church, and we don't have joy on our spirits, life emitting off of us, saying we've got the man in our boat, and it's all good. Yeah, it's hard. Yeah, it's tough. But we know that he will lead us through the valley of the shadow of death. He doesn't lead us just in it just to leave us there. He leads us through it onto the other side where there's green pastures and waters that are still. And he sets up a banqueting table in the presence of our enemies, and our cup overflows. He anoints our heads with oil. Oh, that's my shepherd. That's the guy that I'm rolling with. And when our hearts just get saturated with that, we get anchored into something deeper. And it's not our finances. And it's not whatever. It's anchored in something that we can truly hope in. Tell you, the market's awesome right now, but we don't hope in that. We just don't. America might be really good right now, but my hope is not in America. We are hoping in something that transcends all other hopes, and we get anchored into he's my physician. He is the author of my life. He will heal my body. He is the God of covenant, and he can restore my marriage, or he can shift the heart of my wife, or he can turn the heart of my husband, or he can go get the prodigal sons and daughters and bring them back. I'm hoping in him, not in my husband. I'm hoping in him, not in my children, right? And when we hope in things that are lesser, we get incredibly disappointed because people aren't awesome. Only one person has ever been awesome. And we've got to hope in this one person, this man named Christ Jesus. And I'm pleading, as we go through hardship, would people look at us and say, man, that is hard, and they are shining through it all. I wish I was in that boat. It's the same situation, but that boat has peace. That boat has the Prince of all peace. I'll tell you, there's nothing cooler than watching somebody suffer with a smile. Yeah, it's hard, but man, my eyes aren't fixed on the storm. My eyes are fixed on something much greater. My eyes are fixed on the Lord, not on the loss. My eyes are fixed on something else that transcends all other things. We should have a testimony, really, to the rest of the world. Not jumping into the whining and the complaining, but saying, hey, through it all, let me tell you that we've got a hope. I believe that this is our time. This is our time. When the bear market comes rolling is whenever the Christians come arising. Is whenever it comes down, is whenever we transcend and go up and say, let me tell you the hope that we have. It's easy when it's all good, right? It's easy to love. It's easy to worship. It's easy to trust when it's all gravy. It's all peaches and cream in my walk with the Lord. But when we go through it, is whenever the I guess we have to really prove it out. When the storms are brewing in our lives, it really exposes where we have placed our trust. In James chapter 1 and verse 2, it says, "Consider it pure joy." I think James was smoking something when he wrote this. Consider it pure joy, brothers and sisters. When you face trials, you gotta be crazy. That's not joy. Being with my family, going on vacation, you know, that's joy. That's fun. He says it's joy when you go through trials of many kinds. Next one. Because you know the testing of your faith produces perseverance. Let perseverance finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, lacking nothing. What if Jesus' goal is not to make you successful with the American dream? What if Jesus' goal is to make you look more like himself? What if he's not trying to get your body totally healthy? What if he's trying to get you to respond like he would? What if Jesus chooses not to heal? Ugh. And he says, through this hardship, I want to produce the life of Christ in you. I believe 08, 09, when the market went down, Jesus grabbed some attention of people, saying, you've hoped in the wrong thing for far too long. It's going to be a tough decade. Turn to the source of all provision. America's had a pretty good run the last 7-8 years. We cannot start hoping in that. Our hope has to be in something much, much larger. What if through this storm, Jesus wants to teach his disciples something about their own fear and their own faith as they walk through it all? Instead of Jesus rescuing them out of the boat, he keeps them in the boat. And he says, here's how we go through the storm. Why are you so afraid, is what he asks. I'm here. I'm in it with you. Reality check. I'm with you. Why are you afraid? And then he makes a way, and he speaks a word, and he builds up their faith. About this time last year, it actually was in August of last year, we did a series on the life of Joseph. And the biggest point of Joseph was that he was a seer, and he was able to see through dreams what God was doing. Y'all remember the dream he had where there was 7 fat cows, and it was the land of blessing. America has had, believe it, 7 years of amazing blessing. And then there were the skinny cows that came up out of the lake. Y'all remember that? And the skinny cows ate the fat cows, and it was the 7 years of famine when they had a drought. And it was Joseph at that point that took over because he trusted God. And he deployed an insane amount of wisdom during those 7 years to be able to live and to last for the years of famine. Maybe God wants to teach us something of how to steward things well, how to steward our bodies, steward our finances, steward our properties. I don't know. But as you're going through your hardship, just seek the Lord. What is it that I got to learn? What do I want to get from this? When life is hard, what can I learn through it all? One of the things that I battle with, or that I use as a tool to battle through hardship, is I use gratitude. I try to deploy an insane amount of gratitude and just throw gratitude at the problem. And whenever it's hard, I'm thinking, yeah, but you know what? I get to come home to this girl every night. And I get these 3 kids. And I have these people in my life. I was born in America. That means you already hit the lottery. Life is good. I get to worship freely. I have a God that's faithfully committed to me. Whatever, I got to go back to those things where I'm just thankful for. And what truly are you thankful for? And if you lost it all, it would still be okay. Does history show in Scripture that maybe God is willing to wipe out all of your possessions so that he can get your heart? Do we see anywhere in Scripture, like Job, who was a farmer, that God took all of his barns and crops and silos, his house and all of his kids, wipes all of them out? They're gone. And God let him sit on the ash heap of his life with skin disease, his wife cursing him. God's done it before. And it wasn't for the purpose of punishment, it was for the purpose of getting his heart. People, let's contend for our hearts to be toward the Lord. God, even if you take my crop, God, get my heart. God, if you have to take something from me, I pray that you get a hold of my heart. And even if you take from me, then give me your heart. That's the aim, is to become more and more like you, not to get the American dream, but to get a hold of your character. As I go through suffering, don't allow me to my character move and sway and get off. Keep me rock solid, planted, anchored in you through it all. I'll tell you, maybe sometimes we have gone through different things in life, and I'll tell you, God's intent is not to hurt and to harm. His intent is to get our heart. Judah, the other day, we're doing some yard work and we're cleaning up, and here's what Judah does most of his day. He sleeps in, now that it's summer, he sleeps in, plays, watches TV, plays video games, watches YouTube, plays some more, takes a nap, eats, plays. That's his life. It's a pretty good life. I say, hey, Judah, we're going to do some yard work. He just melts and crumbles. I'm like, Judah, you don't get it. Do an audit of your life right now. It's pretty amazing. Here's what you do. You sleep, you eat, you sleep in my bed, eat my food. You watch my computer, right? Just go on. I explain his life to him. He's like, so we're going to go out into the yard and we're going to work. And the mindset is, I've been blessed so much, I don't know how to handle suffering. I don't know how to do this. I don't know how to work. I haven't had a whole lot of it. AJ, your job is to disciple Judah and getting big. Take him out on the farm. At AJ's open house last night, we had smoked pork. That pig was alive on Friday. He raised it himself, butchered it, got up at 3 a.m. on Saturday, smoked it all day so that we could have open house smoked pork last night. Tell me, what teenage kid is making his own food for his own graduation party? This kid is, right? Lifted that 300-pound pig up, says, sorry, brother, it's over. You're feeding 200 people tonight. Welcome to your destiny. If we haven't gone through it, we don't know how to handle it. We don't know how to get through it. Judah got some work to do. And as a father, what it does is it ticks you off. As a father, God, you're whining, you're complaining, I've blessed. And you go through something and it's just frustrating to watch sometimes. And we get so burdened by our own blessing that we can't handle hardship. We'll wrap here with this in Hebrews chapter 6 and verse 19. We have this hope as an anchor for the soul. It's firm and secure. A hope that enters into God's inner sanctuary. Not only do I use gratitude as a tool, but I also use worship. And I just want to come into his presence, into his inner sanctuary, because when I'm focused on the problem, I can't focus on the presence of God. And presence has an ability to overwhelm all other problems that I can walk through. And I'll tell you, if your eyes are fixed on the problem, can I just help you? Get over here. Let's get our eyes refixed on the thing that it should be. Little parable. The only survivor of a shipwreck had washed up on this small and uninhabited island. He prayed fervently for God to rescue him, and every day he scanned the horizon for help, but none seemed forthcoming. Exhausted, he eventually managed to build the little hut out of driftwood to protect him from the elements and to store a few of his possessions. But then one day, after scavenging for food, he arrived home to find his little hut in flames, the smoke rolling up to the sky. The worst had happened. Everything was lost, and he was stung with grief and anger. "God, how could you do this to me?" he cried. Early the next day, however, he was awakened by the sound of a ship that was approaching the island. It had come to rescue him. "How did you know that I was here?" asked the weary man. "We saw your smoke signal," they replied. It's easy to get discouraged when things are going bad, but we shouldn't lose heart, because God is at work in our lives, even in the midst of pain and suffering. Remember, next time your little hut is burning to the ground, it just may be a smoke signal that summons the grace of God. What you thought was lost was the very thing that maybe saved your life. Heard stories of people, they've got a cold, they go in to see the doctor, and the doctor finds cancer, saves their life. "I ain't got time to deal with this cold right now." And God's in the midst of saving your life right now. Maybe he's saving your perspective for the rest of your life. Maybe he's saving your heart to get into a place of worship and gratitude. Maybe he's saving something and we don't even know. We think it's everything is burning. But what he's really doing is in the midst of saving. Billy Graham said this. He said, "Whenever we lose our wealth, when our wealth is lost, nothing is lost. When health is lost, something is lost. When our character is lost, all is lost." Get the perspective of loss and say, "Jesus, get my heart, and I hope in you in the midst of hardship." We're going to close. Would you all stand with me this morning? Jesus, we just thank you, Lord, that you are good. Circumstances aren't always good. Circumstances are hard. But you are good. Jesus, I pray over our church family and many who are suffering, many who are going through hardship. And we don't take any of it lightly. What people are walking through in their health, we do not take lightly, in their marriage, in their homes, in their families, in their businesses. Lord, I pray that you would anchor our souls in you. Get us, get a hold of our souls, get a hold of our attention. Let us trust in you, our Lord and our Redeemer. In Jesus' name, amen.
So we're so glad you were with us today. You can subscribe on iTunes or Spotify or your preferred podcasting app. Be sure to rate us so other people can know about the podcast.